Hello, this is Lincoln, reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for February 19th, 2026. At the top of the front page, Iroquois County Board Honors Athletes for Accomplishments by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. Several local athletes were honored at the February 10th Iroquois County Board meeting. Chairman Paul Ducat has said that he wants to recognize local people from around the county, and the athletes were the February honorees, so this has become standard whenever possible. Krista Holahan of Watsika, Dirks Newcomb of Cisna Park, Addison Lucht of Cisna Park, and the Watsika Junior High 8th grade boys basketball team were present at the meeting. Newcomb and Lucht were each honored for scoring their 2,000th points in basketball. Holahan was honored for scoring her 1,000th point in basketball. The 8th grade team was honored for winning the Iroquois County Conference Tournament in boys basketball. Each had a resolution read about their accomplishments. Newcomb scored his 2,000th point against Danville Schlarman Academy in a game on February 6th. Lucht scored her 2,000th point in a home game against Clifton Central on February 4th. Holahan reached her 1,000th point milestone on February 2nd in a home game against Salt Fork, February 2nd. The 8th grade boys team won the conference tournament December 10th in a game conducted at Tri Point. And then there are pictures here, each with Iroquois County Board Chairman Paul Ducat. First, the Watsika Junior High 8th grade boys basketball team at the top here, and then we have lovely pictures of Chairman Ducat with Addison Lucht, one with Ducat with Krista Holahan, and one of Mr. Ducat and Dirks Newcomb of Cisna Park. Crescent City, Crescent Iroquois CUSD, number 249 Board conducts meeting by Kim Rabe for the Times Republic. Steve Massey, president of the Crescent Iroquois CUSD, number 249 Board of Ed, called the Monday, January 26th meeting to order at 6 p.m. All present recited the Pledge of Allegiance. In the absence of Secretary Becky Dirks, Superintendent / Principal Lucas Schroeder took roll call. Present were Tim Coleman, Candy Butzo, Mallory Redeker, Aaron Hamilton, Lee Medina, and Massey. Board correspondence included two cards, which were passed around for all members to read. Schroeder's superintendent's report noted the septic system was pumped out and a tree may be removed. The driver position for the district is still posted. The principal's report noted enrollment for grades K through 5 is 51. With there being 50 students in grades 6 through 12. The December students of the month were Analia Meadows, a kindergarten student of Heather Johnson, and Braxton Grabo, a third grade student of Nate Kroll. The second quarter Hawks Reading Challenge reward trip was to Hud Zone in Paxton and was well received. The music concert was set for January 30th. There was an early dismissal of 11:30 a.m. Friday, February 13th, no lunch served, and there was no school on Monday, February 16th, which is President's Day. In the board's first action of the night, all of the following were approved: minutes of the December 15th regular meeting, the minutes of the Truth in Taxation hearing conducted December 15th, the treasurer's report dated December 31st, the payment of bills dated January 26th, the impressed fund and petty cash reports of December, leaving closed minutes closed, destruction of audio tapes older than 18 months, and 4 FOIA requests. The senior list for fiscal year 2026 was approved, as was a change in Tonya Wengert's letter of intent to retire. The fiscal year 2027 calendar was discussed and tabled for the time being. The board went into executive session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district, or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. However, a meeting to consider an increase in compensation to a specific employee of a public body that is subject to the Local Government Wage Increase Transparency Act may not be closed and shall be open to the public and posted and held in accordance with the Act. Following the executive session, the regular meeting reconvened and then was adjourned. The next meeting will be at 6 p.m. Monday, February 23rd, which is the fourth Monday of the month, since the third Monday is a holiday. ICGS to conduct open house membership drive. Iroquois County Genealogical Society is a small group made up of people who have an interest in preserving history, whether it be family history or the history of the many towns, villages, and cities which make up Iroquois County. ICGS is a nonprofit organization, and it's dependent upon donations and volunteers to get most of the work done. As for preserving county history, the group is responsible for keeping, organizing, and maintaining records such as marriage licenses, obituaries, land transfers, and the like. For individuals, ICGS is vital in helping those who want to trace their family roots and create family trees. There are many tools, including recorded history and online resources, ICGS uses to assist in these searches. ICGS is hosting an open house and membership drive from 1 to 6 p.m. Friday, March 13th at the Old Courthouse Museum, 103 West Cherry, Watseka. All new and existing annual memberships will be offered at a discounted price. This does not include a lifetime membership. This will be a great time to meet with current ICGS officers and members and learn what they can do for you. And, on the other hand, what you can do for them. Light refreshments will be available. As members and volunteers are vital to the group, all who have an interest are encouraged to attend. Most people who visit ICGS are surprised how little time and effort is needed to be an addition to this group. Everyone is invited to this event. For more information, call 815 432-3730 during business hours of 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. More information can be obtained by sending an email to irokgene@gmail.com or visiting the group's Facebook page of Iroquois County Genealogical Society. ICGS is located on the first floor of the old courthouse museum in the southwest corner across from the Victorian Room. St. Paul's School celebrates Lutheran Schools Week. During the week of January 26th, St. Paul's Lutheran School celebrated Lutheran Schools Week. According to information from the school, Lutheran Schools Week is a national celebration of Lutheran schools across the country where schools focus on what makes them unique, the ability to share God's love while providing a quality education for their students. Each day was filled with fun activities like dress-up days, guessing how much candy was in the candy jar, all-school morning devotions, and silver wars. We also had an ingathering of items for Phil's Friends, a nonprofit organization that sends care packages to cancer patients. Each class was challenged to collect the most dollars, and then they could put silver coins in other classes' buckets to subtract from their total. The students collected over $2,000, and that money was also donated to Phil's Friends. On Tuesday, the students watched movies and ate popcorn. On Thursday, the students participated in different escape room challenges. Friday saw the entire school head to Champaign to Elevate Trampoline Park for an afternoon of jumping and pizza. And there's some lovely, couple of lovely pictures here of these activities and kids enjoying pizza. Yeah, lovely. Iroquois County School Districts to host developmental screenings. Free developmental screening is being offered to families with children 3 to 4 in Iroquois County. Children 3 to 4 years of age will receive screening for vision, hearing, speech, and overall preschool skills. Free preschool classes are available to children who qualify. Appointments are necessary to make sure all students move through the screening in a timely manner, according to information provided. Screenings for the Donovan School District No. 3 will be held on Thursday, March 5th, from 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. They will be at the Donovan Grade School. Call Donovan Grade School at 815-486-7321 to make an appointment. Screenings for the Iroquois West School District No. 10 will be held on Friday, March 6th, from 8:30 a.m. to 2:50 p.m. They will be at the Gilman United Methodist Church. Call the Danforth Elementary School at 815-269-2230 to make an appointment. Screenings for Milford Area Public Schools No. 124 will be held on Thursday, March 12th from 8:30 a.m. to 2:50 p.m. They will be held at the library at Milford Schools. Call Milford Grade School at 815-889-4174 to make an appointment. Screenings for Iroquois County Unit No. 9 will be held on Friday, March 13th from 8:30 a.m. to 2:50 p.m. They will be held at Wanda Kendall School. call the Wanda Kendall School at 815-432-2112 to make an appointment. To make an appointment for any of the screenings, you can also call Iroquois Special Education Association from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. to schedule an appointment. Birth to age 3 screenings are also available. A representative from Easter Seals will be on site at each of the above locations for these screenings. Please call the Easter Seals office at 815-304-4106 and ask for Jean to make an appointment. If you are unable to make the screening in your school district, you can schedule one in another district. Students in the Crescent Iroquois District number 249 and Cisna Park District number 6 can make an appointment at any screening. Preschool screening is a service of the Iroquois County Public Health Department, Iroquois Special Education Association, the Local Interagency Council, LIC, Easter Seals Jumpstart Program, and the local school district. Kuntz named to University of Mississippi Honor Roll, Dateline University, Mississippi. Camille Kuntz of St. Anne was named to the University of Mississippi's Fall 2025 Honor Roll. Kuntz, in the B.S. in Forensic Chemistry program, was named to the Chancellor's Honor Roll, which is reserved for students who earn a semester GPA of 3.75 to 4.00. To be eligible for Honor Roll designation, a student must have completed at least 12 graded hours for the semester and may not be on academic probation during the semester. Illinois sees 10% increase in H-2A workers by Tammy Sloop for Farm Week. Demand for ag labor through the H-2A program, temporary visa program in Illinois and the nation continues to rise. During fiscal year 2025, 559 more positions were certified in Illinois over fiscal year 2024, bringing the total to 5,757, according to an American Farm Bureau Federation, AFBF, Market Intel report. Nationwide, 398,258 positions were certified in fiscal year 2025. 13,358 more positions than in 2024. The H-2A program has grown 185% in the past 10 years. Data also shows it was the first year in program history during which more than 400,000 workers were requested, highlighting the continued domestic labor shortages American farmers face. Nearly 50% of the certifications in 2025 work in just five states: Florida, Georgia, California, Washington, and North Carolina. Florida far outpaces all other states, accounting for more than 14% of 2025 certifications alone, and adding more than 9,000 additional workers from 2024. On the flip side, four H-2A leader states decreased in certifications, with California certifying more than 2,000 fewer workers in 2025 than in 2024, the third straight year of decline in H-2A use there. 38 states increased the demand for H-2A workers, including the remaining five states that round out top 10 usage. Declines in H-2A use were concentrated in the south, southeast, and on the west coast. The primary requirement of any H-2A certification reaffirms that no domestic workers desire the position. Low unemployment, falling labor participation rates, and general disinterest in agricultural work all continue to strain domestic labor shortages, according to the Market Intel. Only 182 positions out of more than 415,000 advertised, less than 0.04%, received a domestic applicant in fiscal year 2025. The H-2A program remains the pinnacle program for meeting seasonal agricultural worker demand. However, it is far from meeting the needs of all of U.S. agriculture, AFBF economist Samantha Ayoub wrote in the Market Intel. Non-seasonal industries like dairy, mushrooms, or greenhouses are largely unable to use the H-2A program due to regulatory contract limits. Additionally, only 80% of positions certified receive visas to work in the United States, so even farmers have proven labor shortages may not be able to meet their peak employee needs via the H-2A program. The costs of using this program, from unpredictable wage increases to application costs and non-wage benefits, have also long been a barrier for many farmers. Recent changes to the adverse effect wage rate methodology seek to correct years of uncontrolled wage inflation and recognize the large non-wage costs of utilizing the H-2A program. These changes, along with additional flexibility in work contract timelines and job duties, will hopefully make the H-2A program more accessible to other farmers, leading to continued growth of the program, Ayoub wrote. The need for a reliable ag workforce was a theme throughout AFBF's annual convention in January, with delegates adding and amending policy related to the H-2A temporary visa program. Two H-2A proposals submitted by Illinois Farm Bureau also were approved, including streamlining the H-2A application process by using electronic application filing and lengthening the term of stay for H-2A workers. During the convention, congressional ag leaders told attendees ag labor reform would likely be considered by Congress during the first quarter of this year. House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson, Republican of Pennsylvania, said at the time he plans to soon release a discussion draft on H-2A reform for review, with legislation possibly being introduced during the fiscal quarter, the first quarter. This story was distributed through a cooperative project between Illinois Farm Bureau and the Illinois Press Association. For more food and farming news, visit farmweeknow.com. 2026 marks 100 years since Route 66 creation. Dateline Granite City. Today, Governor J.B. Pritzker, the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, DCEO, and the Illinois Department of Agriculture, IDOA, joined the Illinois Route 66 Centennial Commission, and tourism partners from across the state to celebrate the official kickoff of the Route 66 Centennial, marking 100 years since the creation of the highway, also known as the Mother Road. Route 66 begins in Chicago and runs through the heart of Illinois, connecting communities and travelers for a century. Throughout 2026, we'll recognize 100 years of Route 66, a road that helped shape Illinois into what it is today. That's why my admiration is, that's why my administration is proud to provide attraction and site infrastructure along this iconic route and deliver millions in grant funding to local tourism bureaus, said Governor J.B. Pritzker in a press release. I invite all Illinoisans to take part in the many celebrations throughout the year. It's a chance to check out the beauty of a truly American road and soak in all that Route 66 and our state have to offer. Across Illinois, our communities are showing up to celebrate 100 years of connection. From Michigan Avenue through Springfield and the small towns that line the route, Route 66 has shaped our history and identity, said Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, an appointed commissioner on the Route 66 Centennial Commission. Illinois is home to sweeping prairie landscapes, welcoming main streets, rich cultural destinations, and world-class cities. I'm proud to welcome visitors from near and far to experience the people, places, and stories that make Illinois truly special. Illinois continues to prioritize its growing tourism industry as millions of visitors from around the world boost economic development and support jobs in the industry. Illinois reached its highest ever hotel tax revenue figures in fiscal year 25 with $367 million, a 14% increase over the previous record set in fiscal year 24. Additionally, Illinois welcomed 113 million visitors who spent a record-breaking $48.5 billion in 2024, representing 500,000 more travelers and $1.3 billion more in spending compared to 2023. In recognition of the centennial, DCEO is awarding nearly $4 million in grant funding to local tourism bureaus to support development, education, preservation, and promotion efforts of Route 66 activities throughout Illinois. These awards will help communities enhance visitor experiences, preserve historic assets, and showcase Illinois' unique role in Route 66 history. Tourism is a powerful economic driver for Illinois, and Route 66 is one of our greatest assets, said DCEO Director Kristen Richards. These grants will help communities tell their stories, preserve their history, and attract visitors from across the country, ensuring the legacy of Route 66 continues to shine statewide. And this is Lincoln. I have been reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, February 19th, 2026. Thank you and have a wonderful day.